Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. Hi, everybody. I am coming up now on 7 months of hosting this podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Please rate, review, and share the podcast if you like it so I can get more people exposed to the podcast. You can do this on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, different other mediums where the podcast is, like Google Play. Please share it on social media and enjoy my next guest. My next guest is Dr. Tracy Nicole Smith. She is a former public school teacher and holds a BA in psychology, a BA in journalism, an MED in curriculum and instruction, specializing in early childhood education, and a PhD in special education. She has transformed the lives of countless families for over two decades through her educational expertise and intuitive wisdom. In 2019, she formed the Educational Apostolary LLC, a consultancy specializing in the navigation of education through a spiritual lens. Over the past year, her vision has evolved. She incorporates spiritual education into her teaching practices to assist others as they awaken and search for their true life purpose. She lives in New Orleans, Louisiana. Welcome to the podcast, Tracy.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here in New Orleans that we bypassed the hurricane. So happy to be in my house.
Yes. And, you know, we're just talking about how the weather is now in Colorado with the snow after the fires had clouded the sky. So we're really happy to have that moisture here in early September, but kind of crazy how cold it is. But let's talk a little bit about a story of how you came out of the trenches and how that led to kind of where you are now in education and how you assist educators.
Absolutely. I had no plans to ever leave the classroom. I was happy in my little world and had kind of worked my way up into different committees and just following my bliss. After Katrina, one of my friend's older sisters got an Obama ARRA stimulus grant, mm-hmm. and she was helping schools in Louisiana that were embarrassingly behind on the RTI process, like learn about RTI and implement. So I interviewed for a job, which funny, I remembered her, but she didn't really remember me because she was like 16 years older than me. Mm-hmm. Same parents had kids like 16 years apart. And so, you know, you always look up to your friend's older sister. So when I interviewed, she didn't even realize who I was until I told her. Mm-hmm. So I got the job and then the rest was history. I, you know, just got to the point in education where I felt like there was this growing disconnect with inside of me, mm-hmm. what you're supposed to do, what accountability means, and then like taking into an account like student trauma and student background. And I felt that gap getting wider and wider. So mm-hmm. it was actually a welcome change to just go out of the classroom and, you know, start my own journey in that way.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how that led you to working with higher ed and starting your own consultancy.
Well, you know, sometimes fate has its hand in your life. When I got on that grant, I met a professor in the copy room, mm-hmm. and she asked me if I had ever thought about getting a PhD. And actually, I love learning, and I have two BAs and an MED. And so in the back of my mind, I always thought maybe I would get a PhD. She said she had just gotten a grant to have students get paid. Okay, I know everybody's like drooling right now. Get paid and earn their PhD. So not only did I earn my PhD for free, but I was paid to do it. Wow. And the only thing I had to do, I know, can you imagine? The only thing I had to do was pay it back in service. So 4 years of getting my doctorate, actually finished in a little under 4 years, but you pay back up 2 years of service. So after 8 years, I had paid it back and it just opened so many doors for me. And I thought about, okay, do I want to leave New Orleans and spread my wings? I had left after Katrina. And so what I did is I just sent out all of these like massive applications. About a year and a half later, somebody from Ball State University emailed me and she said, are you still interested in working at Ball State? Because we have remote learning opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I actually was fortunate enough to get into an asynchronous learning position way before COVID. Mm-hmm. So not only was I a person like during COVID that was giving a lot of advice, but I also was giving inspiration because I had been through Katrina where my life was destroyed and, you know, learned how to build a new normal and embrace it. So mm-hmm. all of these things that kind of happened sort of like thrust me into leadership. And I've been with Ball State 5.5 years in a ABA autism graduate program. And I just love it. I love the students. And it's really cool because I've just been myself, like posting announcements. I'll talk about Mardi Gras and things mm-hmm. that I did. And students always remark how they always feel like they know me. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show when you're open and you're vulnerable and you're just not all business and you really sort of like reveal your inner self, how you can connect with people energetically mm-hmm. without actually being in person with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true also as well as I've taught a lot of different courses this summer online and, you know, taught a little bit in the past prior to COVID online. And, you know, it's a lot of it just depends on the connection between the teacher and the student and how much the students are willing to share because sometimes they're less willing to connect online than they are in person, but that can be vice versa. There are students who feel more comfortable connecting with an instructor online as opposed to being in person. So yeah, I think that's, you know, having those students there and being able to reach out to them. And could you specify a little bit, because I have a friend who has that certification. Is that behavior analysis for
that
autism?
Is, yeah, it's basically learning how to implement academic and behavior mm-hmm. interventions. Okay. And it's not just students, it can be adults' lives. Okay. And as a result, they're more functional and their behaviors. You know, with autism, it's a spectrum, but behavior, because there are like not natural, like social norming mm-hmm. cues that are like embedded that are obvious to them, they need a little more prompting and they need a little more repetition on learning how to function in the world. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of the program, when you graduate, you can sit for your BCBA to become a board certified behavior analyst. So mm-hmm. the program is actually one of the top programs. And so I'm really fortunate to work in it. And I primarily teach the research and intervention classes. So, you know, my little nerdy brain gets to like learn all kind of new interventions. And it's just, you know, it's always changing. It's, you know, it's forever evolving. They're finding more and more out about autism. And we know the incidence, which is the number of new cases, mm-hmm. it keeps going up every year. And I think now it's 1 in 49. Mm-hmm. Just to put it in perspective, when I started teaching in 1996, it was 1 in 120. Wow. So in just that amount of time, now the number of new cases every year, it has just almost doubled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now that's so interesting to hear. And just how people are getting identified easier now, and there's such a wide range of the spectrum as well. Tell me a little bit about how you decided to start your consultancy and what led you to, you know, feeling like you wanted to be of service to others through your consultancy and the story behind that.
Yeah. So when I was in my 20s, I was a suicide crisis counselor for 2 years. And I learned a lot of just how trauma is internalized. And sometimes it can be things that are not dramatic to us, mm-hmm. but mean the whole world to other people. And I'll give you an example. I had a girl that called in from Tulane one night, and she you know, wanted to speak to somebody and basically wanted to end her life because she didn't get in the sorority mm-hmm. where her family legacy was. And so from the outside, I can, you know, people who don't really have a compassion for other people's plights may say, you're going to kill yourself over a sorority. But clearly, like, you're not the type of person that would be on a, you know, crisis, mm-hmm. you know, counselor, you know, level. But anyway, you know, just talking through, hearing her thoughts, her feelings and emotions, I realized how much of that was really blowing this out of proportion to her mm-hmm. and making her feel like she wanted to kill herself, like in her life, over disappointing her family. Mm-hmm. And so once we peel back the layers of that and really work through it, she, you know, understood that it wasn't worth ending her life over. So in the school system, here I am 22 years in, and I'm noticing that there is a compassion chip missing in some teachers. And I am not going to judge that because mm-hmm. sometimes if you, you know, aren't taught compassion or you're not shown compassion, you don't understand that compassion is important. And so when I started noticing all of the lack of compassion, that really started at the top, you know, and went down. So the school system with accountability and this whole phrase, no excuses, mm-hmm. you know, came out in the 90s and the 2000s. And it really was like, no matter what the kid has gone through, he has to learn this material. He has yeah. to pass his test. He has to do all of this. And so that disconnect really just took me out of education. I had, in December of 2018, I had a pretty violent end where a student literally was just so enraged. She didn't even know like who was in the room. And she took a desk and like narrowly missed hitting me, which would have like paralyzed me. Mm-hmm. And I was done. That was it. It was like my self-worth came in and said, I deserve better than this. I don't want this in my life. I've done 22 years. Yeah. I need to do something else. So I went into the medical field and I started doing sort of the same kind of skill level that you need to be a director of special education. Oh, at the time I had worked my way up to director of special education. So those skills that I had, I moved over to the medical field. And then, no joke, one day out of the blue, I just said, let me join Twitter. Mm-hmm. Never, this was October 2019, never had an inkling of yeah. wanting to do that. And it just changed the trajectory of my life. Oh. On the one hand, I was like, I'm going into medicine and I'm going to learn all about healthcare. And then I got on Twitter and I started writing on Medium, all of like the stories of corruption and everything. Well, as time went on, the stories of corruption kind of lost their punch in my mm-hmm. life and stopped resonating. I got tired of talking about all the horror and I sort of flipped it. The same time I started meeting global educators, I found out about Teach SDGs, which are the mm-hmm. UN's 17 sustainable development goals that they're trying to implement by 2030. Mm-hmm. And I started meeting these amazing people, one person being Coon Timmers that I did write a Medium story about how he started a school at a refugee camp in Africa mm-hmm. off of like sending one laptop. Wow. And so like just the power of one and the power of activism and your desire. And so I decided I'm going to start helping people navigate the public school system through a spiritual lens. Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of evolved into once COVID hit, every mm-hmm. like person in helping professions started having these spiritual awakenings, mm-hmm. which to mm-hmm. me is just finding the need to connect to your true purpose. Mm-hmm. If your true purpose is teaching people about snakes, somebody could argue, well, there's no money in that. It's okay if your life purpose isn't something you're paid for, mm-hmm. as long as you're pursuing it in some way, educating people and, you know, maybe, you know, starting some type of organization. But everybody has these passions inside of them as educators, and they don't follow through because dream crushers have come in and said, you can't make money on that. You know, why don't you like teach about it? I think you can do both. And so what ended up happening was I started going into all these Twitter chats and people were like DMing me saying, you know, you really should start like teaching people about spiritual awakenings and spirituality. And I had had my spiritual awakening in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And back then you didn't have Twitter. You didn't have like the internet type of like connections that you have now. So a lot of my, you know, the way I found out about things was like buying books and then like looking in like Natural Awakenings magazine for like workshops. And, you know, I kind of did it old school. Now I think there's so many more resources. So I seem to attract in people in helping professions, which in my mind, people in helping professions are like the number one, which is like education. And there's medicine. And I also feel like therapists, counselors, people in the service industry, motherhood, fatherhood. You know, a lot of times people don't realize motherhood and fatherhood are helping professions because anything that requires energy from you and for you to go into your own inner resources and use your energy to help empower other people is a helping profession. So currently I'm working on creating a low-cost membership site and some e-courses so that I can help people understand and navigate not only figuring out their life purpose, but we have some really heavy energies right now in the world. There's politics and everything that goes along with that. And there's uprisings with equity and access to the internet and having just your basic needs met. So the other part of it is, you know, trying to help people understand that as like a healer, an energy worker, a light worker, you have to protect your energy. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to protect your energy and how to fill your own vessel.
Yeah.
I think right now on Twitter, what I'm seeing a lot of and that I'm going to address is everyone is trying to figure out how to help other people. Mm-hmm. I think that is great to try to help other people. We have to help ourselves first. Mm-hmm. You have to fill your own bucket. If you just post memes and pictures of yourself and uplifting comments, when the camera's off, when the text is gone, when the chat is finished, if you are not doing anything to replenish your soul, then you are really not helping anyone, especially yourself. Right now, it is so important to focus on healing yourself, looking at your own inner traumas, your triggers, looking at ways that you can be non-reactive and add to the joy by just having a pleasant aura around you. Of course, you can listen to people and be their friend and, you know, be a compassionate thought partner. But I've noticed that a lot of people are really focused on like, you know, hurting, like let's help everybody and let's all get in this together and push everyone along. And, you know, when you do that, you're also missing the bucket, which is like, look within, look at yourself and figure out what you can do. By helping yourself, you're helping everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important to remember in this day and age as we start a school year in various ways, right? With some people fully remote, some people hybrid, and some people fully in person, and how people are navigating that challenge, whether, you know, their district decided to go fully in person and they're not feeling comfortable with that, or whether they're, you know, still having difficulties figuring out how to navigate the remote teaching world. I also think it's very interesting how you mentioned that you didn't get on Twitter until actually less than a year ago. And, you know, you're very active on Twitter now and have a lot of followers. So, you know, that's really picked up, I think you said. But the fact that you kind of say we're not, you know, the person on Twitter who's sharing the information needs to help themselves first. I find that very useful because sometimes people always, you know, want to give out to others, just like teachers. You know, we always focus on our students, but not necessarily ourselves.
Yeah, I've had to like tell some of my friends, I have some private like DM, like little groups with people. Mm-hmm. And I remember like a month ago, I just finally said, y'all, I can't do all these chats and keep up mm-hmm. with all this email. And it was like, I had like popped the balloon, like the elephant in the room was finally revealed. And then everyone's like, me either. And I just tell people, do the best you can, show up, but you don't have to do everything. But conversely, I have people that are like, I don't do any of the Twitter chats. I don't like comment on anything else. But then they wonder like why your followers aren't moving, why people aren't following you. Mm-hmm. If you want others to invest in you, mm-hmm. you need to invest in other people.
Yeah.
The smartest thing that I did, I posted my first article that I ever wrote. And like nobody read it. And the next day I said, oh, that's strange. Nobody read it. And so I just started reading other people's things and commenting on it. So it just became very instinctual to me. Mm-hmm. Now I've had people that have like told me like, I don't read other people's newsletters. I don't do this. I don't do that. I just worry about myself. Mm-hmm. You're also taking it to the opposite extreme where what you're telling people is you're self-serving and you're out for yourself. You're trying to make money. You're trying to promote your company and you really aren't invested in other people. The reason that I'm in the position that I'm in is because I've invested in other people. Other people have taught me and I have learned so much. And when I invest in their the tracks of like their you know, chats and mm-hmm. the tracks of their pictures and all those different tracks that are on there, I've noticed that I'm learning. And some of the things that I'm saying, I'm not planning. Mm-hmm. I'm not like thinking about, it's just coming out naturally. And I've noticed that with people that when they're not over planning or overthinking, they have this natural ability to just like integrate and synthesize things and it helps other people. So I encourage like anyone who really wants to be in a community of learners and learn themselves. You're not the expert, an expert. And so when people say I'm the expert, that always worries me because then I feel like you don't have a growth mindset. You don't have a heart set. You're just in a place where your ego has taken over and mm-hmm. you feel that like, here I am on Twitter and I'm going to help everyone. And it's like, no, a community of learners, I teach, you teach, we mm-hmm. teach, we exchange information, and it just bounces around. And so, you know, that's why I feel very fortunate that it, I think my year anniversary is next month. And it's really, to me, not about the number of followers. It's the number of people that have told me, I've learned so much from you. Mm-hmm. You have so much wisdom. Thank you for sharing. Because all I try to do is be the best version of me mm-hmm. and, you know, be myself and be authentic in the world. And some people will say, I don't resonate with her energy. I can remember one person had, you know, said she told someone off and she called them out. And mm-hmm. so she was getting all this praise. And I just simply said, why are you calling people out? Why don't you just give them gentle nudges? And she said, well, this person was rude to me. And I could just, and I'm saying how I read the tweet, right? She mm-hmm. didn't say this to me, but that tweet was like ego, 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 defense, yeah. defense, defense. When I see somebody post something shocking or, you know, or something that I'm like, I think they could look at this in a different way. I'll just give them a little nudge. And if they don't take it, not my business, not my place, not my journey. I've done my part, but you don't need to call people out. That screams ego to me. Mm-hmm. Ego. Oh, and then they want the pats on the back. I called this person out. And then everyone's like, or I'm like, no, I'm just like, hey, you know, watch your energy in the world. Like, make mm-hmm. sure you're focusing on yourself. Like, self-care isn't a thing. It should be part of your routine. Like, I'm just saying little things. And then people are like coming to me because it's not ego-filled. And I'm not like, hey, mm-hmm. look at me. I'm so powerful. I'm telling you how to live your life. I'm like, this is what's worked for me. and I think it can work for you. So, mm-hmm. you know, I also think that, you know, Twitter can kind of, if you really stop and read what people are saying and see how it makes you feel, mm-hmm. bullying is not acceptable. Calling mm-hmm. people out is not acceptable. And I'm gonna like give a shout out to Julia Fliss, who was one of my first Twitter friends. And in the very beginning, I said something and she had read an article and it was about being a sage mm-hmm. and, you know, for the children. And she just said, I'm going to give you an article that I read about this and maybe it'll like help reframe. And I saw exactly why she sent me that article. She wasn't calling me out. She wasn't shaming me. She wasn't doing anything. All she was doing is like saying, hey, look this way. Maybe you'll learn something. And I did. And mm-hmm. I can say that that is why I gravitated towards her and all of her friends. And there are people on there that have 20,000 followers and all they want to do is call you out, shame you, and want a pat on the back mm-hmm. for doing it. And that's not the work that I'm interested in. I'm interested in the work where, hey man, I'm in the middle. I'm going to empower all those young leaders to go out in front of me and I'm going to walk right behind them. The people in the back, I'm going to also keep encouraging them. Come on, mm-hmm. stay up with us. This is the way to go. And that we can all go together and that you can realize you don't have to be in the front. You don't have to be in the spotlight. Leadership can be from the middle, from the right. center where you keep yourself centered and you're just that person that's like, hey, let the young people run away with this. And it's like, hey, y'all, come on, keep up with us. We got this. And we can just all go together and make the world a better place rather than looking for our ego to be stroked.
Yeah, no, I really like how you point that out. And I had somebody on the podcast that's a famous author a couple of days ago, you know, his episode will be out for a while, but you know, how he's written maybe 50 books, but he said, you know, I'm always learning from the students I teach at the university, from the teachers and principals I work with. He's always learning. He's not the expert. He may have written books, but he is not the expert. So, you know, hearing from those types of voices that are like, you know, I'm not the sage on the stage, right? Everybody's constantly learning. We're constantly picking up new ideas from others. And like you're saying, those are the people you want to follow on Twitter. Those are the people you want to surround yourself with. Those are the kind of people I want to have on my podcast, or the ones that know they can learn from others. They have a story to tell, but you know, they're constantly finding new ways of doing things, right? And branching out, which leads me to tell me a little bit about the type of educators who would benefit working with you in your consultancy.
Well, like I said, that I'm starting the like membership and low, you know, I'm actually just having trouble like actually getting it all like on a site, but it's mm-hmm. almost ready to go. And I feel like the type of people that would benefit working for me are people who will say, okay, yes, I had a spiritual awakening almost 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. I am not better than you, more evolved, different. Like we are all the same. We're all holding hands. Yeah. We're all on the horizon. I can just see further than you. And the veil between the spirit world and the human world is just a little more transparent than me. So I want people to feel like, yes, I've been awakened a long time. I'm mm-hmm. not somebody who just woke up and then they're like, I want to teach everyone everything I know. Because this journey, I started reading about Ayurvedic medicine in 1997. It's only now being in the forefront. And I'm not saying, oh, pat on the back. But what I'm saying is my journey has been really long and evolving. And mm-hmm. so people who don't put me on a pedestal and think, oh, she knows everything. I don't know everything. But the things that I know, I teach because they've worked for me and I've implemented them for over two decades, almost three. And so I understand how to navigate your triggers, how to deal with mm-hmm. your trauma. And also I pay homage to traditional therapy and to traditional medicine. I'm not one of these people who's like, you know, don't take medicine, don't go to therapists, like just rely on spiritual practices. I'm about like a meld. And so if you find yourself in a situation where you feel like, you know, I don't feel right in my life. I feel like something's wrong or something's different, and I don't connect with my friends like I used to. And I'm having trouble like resonating with this profession. And I just feel like, you know, my body's changing and I feel more kind of tuned in and my intuition's kind of like ramped up. And like, I really want to learn like tools and practices and ways to help me like understand and navigate the waters. You know, I always like give the analogy, like when I first became awakened, I mean, I was like a buoy in the water, like everything that happened, I was like, boom, boom. Yeah. It just jars your whole life when like, you know, you just kind of like feel like you get like everything that happens is like a crash. And it took a long time for me to be the lighthouse where, wow, these waves, these hurricane waves can be like crashing against me, but my inner calm, my inner resolve, my light is still out there and I don't feel thrown about where it takes me weeks to recover or I feel the need to like relive the drama and tell people like, let me tell you everything that happened. And, you know, because that's a big trap people fall in. Something happens to them and then they relive it and they keep creating the narrative by reliving it over and over and over again. And it's like, it kind of fuels drama and keeps them alive. So it's like people who are like, you know, I want low drama, no drama. I understand that I am the like the issue here. I need to do things to help create peace in my life and not use the word like self-care. Really, self-care should be the routine. It should be like, do you put on your underwear? Do you brush your teeth? Well, then you need to meditate for 20 minutes, you know, and just teaching people that meditation isn't like, you know, that there's ways to meditate and be like in the present moment without having to like, you know, be that traditional, like, okay, let me put on an orange robe and burn sage, even though I burn sage, but you know, so it's just people who are like, you know what? I just want help navigating the next steps in my life because I want the new normal to be really different and for me to live purposely and intentionally rather than like whatever happens, I'm just going to roll with it. I'm just going to roll with the punches, but I'm going to tell everybody like happiness is key. And like, you know, I'm just going to keep posting like great memes when inside that's not how you're feeling. And I'm not criticizing people who do that. I post things, I posted something today, a quote, but I'm also doing the inner work. And when the camera's off and the keyboard's, you know, closed, that when I'm feeling like, oh, I don't feel too good, I know exactly what to do that isn't bypassing those feelings. I'm moving right through them. And I'm just plugging away. So if that kind of, you know, narrative that I just said fits what you're looking for, like I'm your teacher. And if not, like there's plenty of teachers out there that you can vibe with and you have to find a spiritual coach that you vibe with. It's all about, are you vibing with their vibe? Do you trust them? Do you believe them? Do you like connect with them? Is what they're saying exactly what you're experiencing? So you know, I'm open.
So out of everything we talked about on the podcast today, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
You know, every day, every single day is like the beginning of a new journey. And once you really learn how to identify your triggers, deal with your childhood issues that you might have buried, and fully like feel your feelings. If you want to heal it, you have to feel it. So getting in the place where you've really like identified and you've processed everything, if you really want to have every day just be a new beginning, there are definitely ways to do that. But avoiding it or pretending that it's going away or bypassing it is only going to leave you right back to where you were. So if you want to get out of the circular pattern, you want every day to be a new day forward, it is completely possible. And living in fear and placing so much fear on the future, what's going to happen after the new normal? We have no control over that. I had a new normal after Katrina, and it is nothing that I thought it was going to be But you know what? I rather like it.
Yeah. Well, we've had such a good chat today about just your awakening and your journey and how you can help others with their journey and their spiritual awakening as well. Where can people find you online? What's your website, and where can people get in touch with you?
Yes. So the word epistolary, people always sort of botch it because I kind of made up educational epistolary. One of my friends said I was like her little epistolary, which is really like a book. But she always felt like I was her spiritual epistolary because I was always like giving her like spiritual direction when she was like, you know, leading by ego. But anyway, my company is The Educational Epistolary. Mm-hmm. And my Twitter handle is The Ed Epistolary. Epistolary. My website is Tracy with an I, NicoleSmith.com. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also on Twitter, on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest under TracyNicoleSmith.com. And it's Tracy with an I. I think Tracy Nicole Smith with a Y was like, she was like an 80s, like she was in some movie called like Hot Dog or something in the 80s, like some kind of like ski movie, like B movie. That's not me. I was not in a, you know, I wish I was because it kind of looked like a fun movie, but that's not me.
Okay, well, great. I'll put those websites in the show notes. It was great talking to you today.
Thank you so much. And thank you for this podcast. I know that a lot of people are going to benefit telling their story about out of the trenches and just like resiliency and how you can recreate your life. And, you know, if you decide to leave education or you decide to sort of like morph your life into something else, how you can be just as happy and joyful as if, you know, you are when you're teaching, because there's nothing better than teaching students, but you can also, you know, have purpose and meaning in other ways. So thank you for your podcast. I think it's going to be brilliant.
Thank you.